It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
Hello, I'm here.
You are here.
I am. In this room.
Well, that's good. You know who's not in this room?
Who? Tell me.
Cut Four's senior Los Angeles bureau chief. He's a senior chief. Michael Clare. Thank you for joining us this week, Michael.
Hello. I am not there. I am an incorporeal voice in the airwaves.
It's true. Although I heard like a week and a half ago that the veil between the living and the dead was at its thinnest. Was that true?
That was very true. It's slowly thickening again until May 1st when it will again be at its thinnest.
Wait, May 1st?
Why May 1st?
Is that like half Halloween? I don't understand.
Yeah, so it's known as Beltane, which I'm probably mispronouncing because my Celtic isn't great. But just as there's the summer and winter solstice, there's the fall veil between the living and dead that's thinnest, and the spring veil between the living and dead is that's thinnest.
Well, I know that you're our expert on Halloween, and granted, we're doing this a week and a half after Halloween, but
right.
Why is the fall one the one that we always associate with our Halloween celebration?
Probably because it's spookier, you know, when it's like warm and you're like, I'm going to put shorts on. You're not like, oh man, I wonder if the dead are trying to get into my room right now.
Okay, fair point.
Yeah, colder is creepier for sure.
A lot creepier. Uh-huh. That is true. And you have the changing colors of the leaves and whatnot. So,
which is very spooky.
Very
you know?
Spooky.
The sun goes down early. You know, it's very sunny all day in May. You're not like, ooh, there's a ghost and it's sunny and warm.
Yeah, that's a solid point.
All right.
So we don't know what to do with ourselves because there's no baseball.
We don't. We're just at loose ends. It's terrible.
We are. It's awful. Yeah. Life, really, right now.
Just meaningless. More so than usual.
A lot more so than we veered into the existential angst portion of the Cut Forecast. But, you know, there are certain things in the baseball world that just always crop up. For example, this past week we heard that Petco Park is being used as a golf course. So we're going to talk a little bit about some other things we think baseball stadiums should be used for. We'll talk a little bit about what we're doing with our free time and how we're spending it now that we aren't having to watch six games every single day to sate our appetite for baseball. And then finally, we'll discuss which historical figures we would most like to play baseball with. But before we get to all of that, I have to apologize. I'm so ill, and you can hear it in my voice. But we're persevering. We are fighting through. And speaking of perseverance, at long last, perhaps Gemma and our third partner will be able to perform well on the Cut Forecast.
I doubt it.
Pop quiz.
I sincerely doubt it.
Oh, God, the quiz. I forgot about the quiz.
Don't say it's not. It's not like we've never succeeded in one.
I don't think you have ever succeeded.
That's not true.
Anything.
Yes. Chris and I did all of the Will Ferrell teams. We did that. Ben and I got the soccer one.
The fact that you can name the ones that you got right now, I think, proves my point. But, well, you're not going to get this one.
That doesn't even make sense. Whatever.
You're not going to get
this one. I know. Just ask the question.
All right. So here we go. You guys, neither of you are going to get this. So it's both of you versus me. I threw in a word here to make it a little bit easier. So we'll see how that works. Johan Santana, as we learned, is going to attempt a comeback in 2016. He has not pitched a full season, or he hasn't pitched in Major League Baseball since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time. Feels like less time, but
it really does.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's actually pretty crazy.
Yeah, but we're excited about that. We hope he does come back because the league is better with Johan Santana in it. The last inning that he pitched was on August 17th, 2012. In that inning, he gave up a home run, which is maybe a little inauspicious, but you know, we'll go with me here. To whom did he give that home run up? It was a rookie. I will give you that piece of information.
A rookie in
2012 rookie.
Yes. He gave Johan Santana in his last inning in the majors gave up a home run. To whom did he give up that home run?
2012.
Can we ask, was it a National League team?
Yes, it was a National League
team. Okay. I mean, I guess that was like a greater than 65% chance that it would be a national team. But
was it John Cusack in the film 2012?
Yes, it was John Cusack. You got that right. Congratulations.
All right. There we go. I knew it.
Was it Bryce Harper?
It was Bryce Harper.
Oh, my God.
You got it right.
We did it.
Well done.
Oh.
The rookie thing probably was the giveaway.
It was.
But I felt like being kind to you.
That was very kind. Because if you had not said that, I would have been like, meh.
All right. Well,
see, I have no concept of time. I still write 2012, like when I have to like sign a check. So
that's helpful. Like, I'm sure your bank really likes that. Have you ever bounced a check because of that? Is that like anything weird happen or no?
No, I think people just tend to be like, sir, have you had a head injury recently? Do you need to see a doctor or can you refill this out?
Yeah, okay, well.
It's cold.
Claire, do you know what year it is now?
Honestly, when I said 3 years back, my first was, oh, we're in 2016. We're not. We're in 2015.
Oh, you just skipped right ahead. Okay.
Well, maybe Johan is back.
A minute ago,
so
I would have
in the future where you're calling from, clearly, since you're not here, you must be calling from the future. How is Johan Santana doing?
He's doing great, but I have to warn you, do not eat the egg salad from downstairs today. Terrible things will happen if you do.
All right. Well, we'll keep that in mind. Never. Gemma, as a prize for getting the Cup Forecast pop quiz correctly, you get to go last
yes.
when we sum up the podcast.
I'm so excited.
Into 140 characters at the end of the show. Congratulations.
That Thank you.
Well done.
Thanks.
Well done. All right, let's move in here to our first topic. Gemma, why don't you talk a little bit about this Petco Park golf course, because I'm obsessed with it. What happened? Whose idea was this? I think it was the team president.
I think it was the team president's idea, and they also worked with a golfing service. I don't know what they're called. I'm not super into golf, but like where you would normally go to like a driving range. They worked with some of those guys and like golf pros to come in and help. But so they just made it a short game, like 9-hole golf course. And the holes are all over the park. There's one on the upper deck. There's one from behind home plate. It's par 3. It's a par 3 course.
Yeah, I think I read that.
Yeah, yeah. And it just looks super fun. It looks like mini golf, but definitely more challenging, like way more challenging, but it has that same level of like, oh, it's kind of kitschy and in this weird location, and there's one where there's fake snow because it's the bad weather hole and stuff.
Why
like
not
that.
Why yeah, not
why not
if there's one thing I think about when I think of San Diego, it's snow,
right?
That's like the first thing that comes into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to play this golf course, and I'm sad that I can't. I want to go out to San Diego right now to play.
Yeah, it sold out really fast. They actually added a couple days because it was so popular.
It's amazing. That's so cool. But that idea got us thinking. Baseball stadiums, they sit dormant for months doing nothing. I mean, they host other events and stuff like that.
Yeah, sometimes.
But, you know, like,
yeah.
But what other awesome public goods could these stadiums serve? What other ways could we seek to make them even more exciting than they already are? Claire, since you are in the home of one of the best baseball stadiums and one of the most versatile, according to some history, Dodger Stadium is out there. It's hosted some ski jumping. It's hosted some soccer. It's hosted all kinds of stuff. What would you do to give another face to a baseball stadium?
So I'm going to cheat a little bit here.
Of course. It wouldn't be the Cup Forecast if somebody wasn't cheating.
Because this one is actually something that a Cal League team does. I believe it's the Lake Elsinore Storm. And every year I mean to do it, and every year I forget until November 1st. They have a haunted house at their stadium.
Of course.
So after the year, they, like, convert it. They, like, add spooky things and mazes, and it sounds amazing. And I think you should just have that go through the offseason. You just update it slightly. So, yeah. October it's a haunted house. November, it's a haunted house, but instead you have, like, pilgrims scaring you.
Ghost
pilgrims. December, you have, like, Santa's jumping out and terrifying, like, bone Santa.
That's not really scary.
Oh, wait, always a haunted house, no matter.
It's always a haunted house.
And then
but
in January, it's
right
just
month.
Like.
January doesn't really have anything, so you can just be a hodgepodge. And then February, you have, like, terrifying Cupid monsters jumping out of there.
Claire, I hate to kind of put a pin in your balloon here, but you do realize that if your team makes it to, say, the World Series, that they probably can't have a haunted house in their stadium for October, right?
That's fair. Then you just have the November one, and you're haunted by pilgrims and turkeys that are just, like, begging you, please spare me. And so it becomes, like, very sad.
Okay.
It becomes very sad? Wait, like, it's just ghosts of turkeys, like, making you feel guilty?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I feel guilty every time I eat a meal, especially if there's meat involved. And so that would really get to my core if the ghost of the turkey said, spare me this life.
Poor Claire.
Wow, this got
the existential
really
angst
dark.
Of you eating food.
Really dark, really quickly. Like.
So, but if they didn't have that, you know, if teams were like, that sounds like a lot of work, that sounds like we're really going to disturb our fan base, I think just air old ball games on the Jumbotron. Can you imagine, you know, like a crisp November day, and you're like, I don't know what to do, and you grab a blanket, you go to the stadium, and you watch, like, Cubs versus Cardinals, June 3rd, 1989. And I don't want, like, special games. Don't give me, like, you know, a big game that everybody knows. I want a game I've never heard of before, never seen. I don't know the outcome. Maybe the pitchers each give up, like, 6 runs. Like, show me, you know, your – because that's what makes baseball great, is that middle of the summer, like, just who knows what's going to happen. So just do that, but in the winter.
Yeah, I like that.
That's fun.
I'm going to rip that off for a second, or I guess riff on that for a second. This isn't one of the ones I wrote down, but what if you did, like, you know how people do, like, Civil War reenactments? What if people did that, but
just reenacting
with a baseball game? Yeah, so, like, you get a bunch of, like, random people off the street who are really into, like, baseball, and have them, like, go through the script of the game and memorize it, and then
that's amazing.
Like a play.
That would be great.
Wait, that would be so cool, because you could get so weird with it, you know?
I know.
Watch game film and try to have someone mimic exactly, like, how long it takes, like, it's like to the second, you know, choreographing that. I mean, but the thing is, you'd have to hire athletes to do this.
Totally.
Because if the script is like, guy hits 468-foot home run.
Yeah. Probably couldn't do that, I don't think.
Or is it like Hook, and it's you don't actually use a baseball, and you just imagine this weird frosting goo, like, flying
over. I'm kind of into that.
I like that. That's,
I
now,
like that.
I just, as you're probably aware, Gemma and I are both theater majors, so it's not surprising we're both super into that idea.
No one has ever heard this before. Oh, well, Claire also had some theater in college.
Yes, so maybe she would be too
surprised. Just make it like a Brechtian baseball game, so, like, you know, no uniforms. Like, let people know it's a play of baseball, not a baseball play.
That's the key. Well, that's the key of not having an actual baseball. I feel like that's the great Brechtian element of our little idea here. But anyway, I interrupted. Claire, so the haunted house is maybe, like, the thing you're most focused on?
Right. I mean, as with most things, I'm mostly focused on the haunted house.
Just at all times in your life, you're just thinking about a haunted house, like, 50% of your brain.
Yeah. If I had, like, a little thing in my brain, and you could see, like, the thought bubble above me, it would be half the time, I wonder if you could make this into a haunted house.
Which you probably can't most things.
Yeah, most things.
Yeah. All right, Gemma, what do you got? What would you like to see done with our baseball stadiums in the winter?
I thought of a couple of ideas. As usual, none of them are good.
Right.
So
that's assumed.
As you should assume. I know this has happened before. Like, at Fenway Park, you can ski Fenway Park. So I thought maybe, like, a little snow park instead.
Yeah.
You know, some landscaping, some snowboarding. You could go sledding. There could be a little ice rink. That could be fun. But then I was thinking of, like, what else do I know of when I think strange event happening in athletic field.
Okay.
And perhaps to no one's surprise, I thought of the Triwizard Tournament.
Okay.
In Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, in which the Quidditch pitch becomes a massive hedge maze.
Oh, I see.
So I thought, wouldn't it be fun if just for, like, a week or two, stadiums could become a massive adult obstacle course.
Yes, that would be very
that
fun.
That is the goal. Yes.
Yes.
No, you know, dangerous creatures that are going to shoot flame at you and sting you with scorpion stings.
I was concerned that's where you were going.
No murderous sphinxes, no Voldemort there. Just none of that. No, porkies.
You know.
Maybe like light Death Eaters. I don't know.
Light, just a little, like a sprinkle of Death Eaters.
So the idea would be that it would be kind of like a maze, and maybe it could be competitive, so you could go with your friends, and there'd be timed entrances, and you could have, like, teams if you wanted to compete to see who could get to the center first. You could use the architecture of the ballpark. Like, you could start on the concourse, maybe, and try to get to the center of the field.
That's really cool.
And there would be all these different obstacles and, like, puzzles that you'd have to solve. That's my plan.
I like that plan.
Any ballpark that's interested, call me. Happy to design it.
All of these ideas, the Cut4Cast staff are thrilled to help implement.
Yes.
So
you'd have to, like, a little athletic. There'd probably be, like, a climbing section, you know, teamwork stuff, building things. Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be really fun. And I guess, obviously, I'm, like, the most selfish. I'm like, adult obstacle course. There could be one for children as well.
No. No, that would just ruin it, really. I mean, that would just... Who wants to make kids happy? The laughter of children? Enchanted?
Dakota and I, earlier, we were talking about space camp and how sad we are that we can't still go to space camp.
That is true.
So I tried to come up with something that we could do now.
We are both alums of space
camp. Yeah, we both went to space camp. Probably also.
Claire, did you go to space camp?
What was that?
Did you go to space camp?
I didn't. I always wanted to go, but I had a lot of separation anxiety, so, you know, a week away... and like a lot of fear of like, well, what if the spacesuit doesn't fit? No,
this will be great. So we're gonna
go to the
adult obstacle course in, you know, Comerica Park, and it'll be great.
Yeah.
Then you'll get to wear an astronaut jumpsuit in it because why not?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, am I wearing one right now? I might be. You don't know.
Well, I feel like my ideas are not nearly as good as these. So I mentioned the ice skating rink as well. They did have the Winter Classic at Fenway Park, and I remembered before that they had the ice skating rink there, and they just let people come and skate on it. I feel like that's really cool.
Yeah, that's really great.
And I thought just using these stadiums as just general public spaces would be really fun. Just like put a bunch of like benches inside, and like maybe cover up the diamond. Like Fenway had that as well with the when they're playing soccer, or maybe it's Busch Stadium. It's both, I think.
Yeah, they both.
They
have
put the turf over there. And so, like, just make it, like, a public park where you can just go and sit in the middle. And, like, you can put up walls so that people don't go up into, like, the concourse and everything. Even though that's the cool part. You don't want to, like, you want people to, like, get lost or whatever. There's that story of that guy who, like, fell asleep in some stadium in England and woke up when it was closed.
10 years later.
Right. We don't want that to happen.
No.
So instead, you know, you just go and hang out on the field, have a picnic maybe, and maybe you do movies on the Jumbotron. That seems like a lot of fun to me.
Yeah.
Just a general community space.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
I would love to do that.
I would love, like, just go over to Citi Field and just hang out.
Just have, like, a picnic. It'd be nice.
It'd be really nice. Claire, do you want to go to our Citi Field picnic?
I would love to go. I was just thinking you could then maybe up it a little bit, and then, like, let's say you had a team where they were planning on, like, re-sodding the field.
Uh-huh.
You tell everybody that this community space, also that you've discovered that buried treasure is underneath the ground, and, well, we can't really find it, and we say, when you come to our park for a picnic, please do not dig it up, but really you're just getting... Because you know they're gonna do it, so really you're just getting everybody to do it for you for free.
That's a very pessimistic. That's kind of like a Nathan for you.
Also,
plan.
This is very sad to like imagine just people like with their hands like tearing up.
I need to get to the treasure.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah, that's really sad, Claire. I'd stick to the haunted house.
You'd have somebody like bury a treasure, you know, a small thing, maybe something that's like you had fun, didn't you? Like they get
like leftover promotional items. From the season.
You had fun. The warmth in your heart of having a childlike moment, isn't that a reward in itself?
So you just find a tablet with that inscribed on it. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then maybe I don't know. Maybe like a coupon for 50% off, like a hot dog.
I don't know. Maybe we could have coupon day or something. Okay. Well, that's an idea. You had an idea that you shared with us on the Cut4Cast. That's what happened. Let's move on to our next segment. Now, obviously, we have a lot free time on our hands now that
clearly
there's not, as you can tell by this conversation,
fantasizing about space camp and Harry Potter and haunted houses.
It's tough when there's not baseball happening every hour
it's
of the
really
day
tough
for us to fixate on. So, you know, Gemma, I asked you first. No, I asked Claire first last time.
So Gemma,
how are you spending your free time now that baseball is not around? What advice would you give? Because I think we're going to try to do this every week, where we talk a little bit about some of the stuff that we're filling our time with that used to go to baseball, to other things, just to help you get through the offseason. I think that's the least we can do. So, Gemma, what are you filling your free time with?
Well, I know that last podcast it was suggested that I do not like culture.
It was.
I would like you to all know that this is not the truth. I went to an outdoor sculpture park this past weekend on a Sunday, a day that normally I would be watching baseball all day. But I went outside and looked at some art in a park, and it was beautiful, and it was really nice. However, that is not all I'm doing, because I cannot go to parks every day in the wilderness.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm lazy. I like my bed a lot. I like to stay in it. So I've been watching this Australian Baseball League, which is up and running. It's great. You can live stream it on YouTube early in the morning at like 12 a.m. You can just tune in to some ABL if you miss live baseball. And everyone is super nice. I was watching ABL this past weekend, and I tweeted about it. And Chris Coleman, who is a friend of Michael Clare's.
friend of Cut 4.
The wonderful
friend of
Chris
Cut 4,
Cole.
Yeah. And also a broadcaster for the Canberra Cavalry, gave us a shout-out, gave Cut 4 a little shout-out.
On the broadcast.
On the broadcast for writing some posts about ABL action. I tweeted about it. They put my tweet on the screen.
They read your tweet?
They did not read it. They put the tweet on the screen.
That's my favorite thing is when people read tweets on television.
it would have been lame. But
no, that would have been great.
So they're fun. They're friendly. They want you to watch. Everyone's great. The facial hair is just unbelievably amazing. If you miss baseball beards, you can get your fill in the ABL.
So you're saying to fill the baseball-shaped hole in our hearts.
With more baseball.
Now that is genius.
That's my suggestion.
That is a genius life
hack.
That's
my suggestion, yes.
That's the ABL, the Australian Baseball League.
Yes, and you can watch it on YouTube. The ABL has a channel, just ABL, AB League.
AB League.
Yes.
That's awesome.
They do archive the game, so if you don't want to be up at midnight on like a Thursday, you can just watch them when you get to work.
Yes.
But how do you avoid, spoilers, though?
I mean, it's hard. You know, you put up filters in your tweet deck, and you're good to go.
Just mute all of your ABL friends that you have.
Don't watch, like, the 24-hour sports shows, because
that's all they talk about. Yeah.
All right. Claire, what do you got? What are you filling your baseball time with?
More
baseball, I assume?
I went to bed at 8:15 last night, because it was like, ugh, no baseball.
P.M.?
You just, like, went to sleep at 8:15?
But basically two things. One is I have purchased the new Football Manager. It is a video game that I am going to play as Hartlepool United. We can talk about this on the Cut 4 Soccer Cast, but I'll be filling my time that way. But the other thing is I'm going to be reading and hunting down more baseball-themed comic books. Like, I have in front of me Cosmic Slam, the limited edition comic from some year where you've got Dave Justice and Jeff Bagwell as some sort of intergalactic baseball warrior.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, so I'll mostly be spending hours searching for weird eBay auctions that are, you know, like in half English, half just like, someone obviously like fell asleep on their keyboard while putting it up.
I meant to apologize to you for that. I got bored writing the listing.
Listen, this is the type of, like, none of those stories where like you read a book and like either it makes you like amazing or like you lose your mind because you get like sucked into the story. Yeah. I'm a little worried when I crack this open that I'm going to lose my mind and never come back to reality. People will be like, oh, you know, what are your thoughts on Jeff Bagwell for the Hall of Fame? And I'll be like, oh, you mean Jeff Bagwell, intergalactic baseball warrior?
Now,
and I'll think that's the true reality and, you know, I'll end up being, you know,
locked away. So then you would
say,
like, yes, you should be in the Hall of Fame because he's
magical
saved
about it.
Yeah.
So, wait, you say come back to reality. That implies that you have been in reality this entire time.
Well, you know, my own corner. I've been in my own corner, and you're, you know, it's
technically right now to me, you're only in my ear, and to you listening, he could just be a disembodied voice.
None of us could be real. We could all just be manifestations that have come out of the airwaves, just you know, compilations of generations of people talking into the radio.
We've now reached the point of the off season where we're talking about how
we
may not exist.
Contemplating our own existences. Baseball, come back.
Yeah, it's been a week and we're already here. So make sure to tune in every week to the Cup of Cases to see just how crazy we can.
Well, I mean, what have you been doing to fill your hours, Dakota? Your empty baseball-less hours.
Well, I've been doing all sorts of stuff. I saw at the Brooklyn Academy of Music a performance called Opus by the Australian circus troupe Circa. Everybody
sounds
should go
great.
See them. That was
Australia
really exciting.
just mm-hmm. really contributing.
Yeah,
to
big
our off season.
Australia friends of the Cup Forecast, the whole country. I watched my beloved New York Red Bulls football club mm-hmm. in Major League Soccer. They are moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's pretty exciting. And if you follow me on Twitter at Dakota Gardner, you will know that I have been getting caught up on Star Wars, rewatching each of the Star Wars films. Mm-hmm. Pretty exciting. I've done Phantom Menace. I did Attack of the Clones a couple nights ago.
Yeah, I've been following that, Dakota.
Yep, so that's been going on.
Claire sounds, you know, like he thinks that's been a really good use of your time.
Definitely been a good use of my time. Definitely good use of my followers' time. If you're following me, I'm sure you're thankful for that. And, that's what I've been doing. I got RBI Baseball, and I'm playing that now.
Fun.
It's really fun, really exciting. So I figure if there's no actual baseball, I'm going to just play pretend baseball in my mind.
That's good. I mean, that's definitely a useful – that's great.
Yeah, right?
I should get back into all of those old, like, DOS baseball games.
You definitely should do that. That was really
cool. Those are really fun.
And you should get RBI.
I should get RBI.
Yeah, it's fun.
I will. I'll do it.
Other than that, I don't know. I come here. I talk to you guys.
Yeah, we chat.
That's about it. I eat sometimes.
Exciting.
Gosh.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Just thrilling. All of the off-season action of the Cup Forecast.
Yep.
So what were our suggestions for the people? Contemplate your own existence.
Yeah.
Go indulge in cultural institutions. Mm-hmm. And watch other baseball leagues and or soccer.
I think these are helpful suggestions.
And play video games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good. That's well.
We had right. 2 out of 3 video games.
I think that's somebody's going to write like a philosophy book about how the true well-rounded human, that's what they do with their days.
That doesn't actually sound bad.
No, not at all.
Cook some fancy meals, you know?
You know, while we're talking about these sort of high-level, highbrow conversations.
So highbrow.
Let's move into this. As you may or may not know, Vin Scully, national treasure, mm-hmm. once played baseball against President George Herbert Walker Bush. We recently learned this because he was given an award named after President Bush, mm-hmm. and he regaled this story. And it got us wondering, as these things often do,
yes.
which historical figure. Now, obviously, George Herbert Walker Bush is not super historical.
I mean, the fact that he was the president of the United States of America gives him certain, you know,
claim to
the historical record.
But he's still here. You know? He's still relevant.
Yeah.
But we're thinking, like, what historical figure mm-hmm. would you most want to play baseball with or against or anything like that? Mm-hmm. Claire, let's jump back with you. What do you think? Which historical figure would you like to play baseball with?
Well, you know, when I was preparing for this answer, my brain was, Joe Charbonneau, the former Indian who did things like open up beer bottles with his eyeball. My assumption when you said historical figure was, which weirdo baseball player in the past would you most like to play baseball with? Like Rube Waddell, who would just like leave to follow fire trucks sometimes. Like, I was like, that guy sounds like a ton of fun. But if you want, you know, like actual, you know, historical figures.
You know, we never define. If you want to go with one of your favorite baseball players of yore, that's totally fine too.
No. I want to answer the question. I'm not here to dodge things. Okay.
Good. I'm glad. You know, the American people want to hear the tough answers. So I'm glad you're obliging them.
Yeah. So I think I would love to. If we want to go like truly historical, like. I'd love to do it with, like, a Da Vinci or something. Some artist, you know, someone who would look at it in a different way. Like, if you're like, hey, Vincent Van Gogh, like, what are you up to, like, on Thursday afternoon? Like, do you want to head out and, like, play catch? And then, like, 2 years later, you, like, show up, hey, Vincent, you want to go play catch? And he's like, no, I don't. But check out this amazing, like, instead of Starry Night, you now have this, like, super crazy, super cool, like, baseball painting. You're like, I'll take that for $15. And you then got this amazing painting. So I think I would want to do, like an artist, like a famous artist. Maybe, you know, be like, hey, Monet, what are you doing Friday night? So let's go have a game of catch. And then you just get this, like, great impressionist piece from him later. He's like, I had such a great time. I wanted to paint you this, you know, hang this on your wall. And you're like, well, I'm not really an impressionist guy. So, you know, maybe I'll put it, like, in the bathroom kind of thing.
So you're not so, super into
so Monet.
Claude Monet
gives you a gift, and you're like, what? I don't really like painting so much. I wish you were Rodin, made me a sculpture of me playing baseball, but I guess I'll accept this priceless art from you.
I like that you think that Vincent Van Gogh's painting is $14. That's a high point.
Well, it makes sense because he's alive, and Van Gogh didn't really take off until he was
dead.
Good
point. That's a good point. And also, that conversation would probably sound a little bit more like this. Hey, Vincent. Hey, Vincent. Oh, what? Huh? You're talking to me? Oh, yeah, I'll play baseball.
Only talking to my right side.
Yeah.
I liked Da Vinci. I thought that was a good suggestion because he would probably invent some bizarre device and change the game of baseball as we know it. You know, we'd be playing with wing shoes or something.
Man, that would be great.
Yeah.
That'd be really awesome.
And terrifying.
Submarine bats
be great
for underwater baseball.
You know, change the shape of human history, and then just there's, you know, terrifying winged people flying into your apartment all day.
Well, yeah, that would,
I mean, you would
bad.
Also, I don't know, I mean, you could lock the windows.
What if
well,
he didn't
he might
invent
have invented
locks?
Something to unlock windows if you're wearing winged feet. I don't know.
Yeah, see,
you
Claire?
You don't mess with time. That's why you don't travel through time. No.
That is why. That's reason number one why you don't travel through time. All right, Gemma, what historical figure would you most like to play baseball with?
I had a lot of different options, obviously, because I'm super annoying and only want to talk about old American history. People on my list included Mark Twain. I think that would be really great. I don't know that he would play, or maybe just like he would sit there and comment bitterly.
I was going to say he could do good commentary.
Yeah, he would be a great commentator. I decided Dorothy Parker should be the manager of the team.
Oh my God.
Because she would give really funny pressers and it would be incredible no matter how our team performed. Though I decided, so that's like my little shelved team. I decided, like, I picked some of the first Chinese American women who became pilots, who became licensed pilots, because I've been reading about them lately. And I was thinking that, like, they're just so cool and amazing. Like, this woman, Catherine Sui Fun Cheng, she became the first Chinese American woman to have a commercial pilot's license, and she'd like hang out with Amelia Earhart, fly around, and they were like, "Oh, you really can't fly by yourself yet." She's like, "Okay, I'm getting in this plane. Bye." And just started doing tricks and was just really a natural and amazing, incredible. And I'm sure that those daring talents would translate to the baseball field really well.
Yeah.
And then I also picked this other Chinese American pilot, Hazel Ying Li, who was a World War II pilot. And female pilots tended to get really terrible missions because they weren't officially recognized as military. And she was just also extremely daring, and people loved her, and she would write like teasing nicknames on other people's planes in her lipstick and was just super cool.
That's awesome.
So I just want to hang out with them in a dugout and play baseball and have Dorothy Parker be our manager. And Mark Twain do commentary.
Fun.
It would be really bizarre.
That sounds way
Someone
more
give me
fun.
A movie deal.
Yeah, than anything I could come up with, for sure.
Well, it's actually very funny that you say Mark Twain, because he would actually have to, like, show up at, like, some of these games and stuff. Like, in, like, the 1880s, he would be, like, this gadfly that they'd run around. And there was a game he was supposed to umpire. I actually pulled this up really quick. And he said that he would encourage the players with his presence, but he didn't umpire because he refused to go out in the sun. So he just sat in the stands and fanned himself.
This is actually perfect because he can be in the broadcaster's booth.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, in the
so
shade.
You nailed who Mark Twain is so well with that choice.
Look at that.
Yes.
See, I also thought about a commentator. I thought Oscar Wilde would be a really good commentator.
Oh my God. I would love that.
And then I thought Ernest Hemingway. I feel like he would be a great time to have a catch with. And
oh, yeah.
To read a short story.
Oh, I thought you were putting Hemingway
catch.
In the booth with Oscar Wilde.
Please
that
do.
Would not. I don't think that would end
cursive.
Well.
He would never speak. He would just never speak.
I feel feel like
you didn't even know he was there unless you walked up there and saw him like smoking a cigar and eating bear jerky or whatever.
Yeah, just kind of yelling at the players.
Yeah.
He won't pitch. Ball.
That would be it. That's perfect.
That's good. Yeah, he'd be the umpire.
Yeah.
And then I thought about here's something interesting. I didn't know this. I thought Alexander Hamilton would be great. First of all, very smart guy.
Uh-huh.
So he would obviously have a strategy. I recently learned that he's an excellent hip-hop artist. So that, I feel like he would really translate well to, like, you know, modern athletics. I think that would be great. But then I thought, no, William Shakespeare. I know it's really boring. But I think, A, he would be not great at baseball. So if he was on the other, he doesn't strike me as, like, the super athletic type. But I also just think that, like, when he made mistakes, he would have really creative ways of, like, shouting that they were his mistake and up to it, and I would enjoy that.
I also think that, you know, when we stage our Brechtian performance art baseball play, he can help us.
He absolutely cannot. He'll be there, as can his... Mr. Wilde, who'll be there as well.
Yeah.
Well, just all of the great players.
Theatrical. Yeah.
All the great theatrical minds can be involved.
Just come to our weird fake Shia LaBeouf. You can come.
Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, definitely. He's a real
thing. Didn't Claire show us that earlier today?
That's true. Yeah, Shia LaBeouf has some sort of movie.
Some weird performance art thing that he's doing.
Yeah, he can tag along. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
People will love it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things that people love, we need to sum up this podcast.
Let's do it.
Into 140.
I'll go last.
You get to go last. That's right. Gemma got our pop quiz question correct, meaning she gets to go last. I mean, Claire, it's up to you and me. To take things first, you're going to have to go first here. 140 characters, one tweet that you think summarizes this entire conversation. What do you got, Mr. Claire?
All right, let's see. Hidden in baseball's grandest haunted house is the ghost of Mark Twain calling ball three. Hashtag... the veil between the living and the dead that is thin is twice a year. Hashtag cut four cats.
I think you may have gone over the 140 character limit.
I definitely think that's at least three tweets.
So what I'll tell you is this.
Yeah, I'm going to do the one of three. Just for the hashtag. I'll have to flip the hashtag up.
In its own separate tweet.
I'll tell you this. I'll favorite. Oh, wait. I can't favorite it. Sorry. So I'm not going to do anything to the tweet.
You won't
Apologies.
Heart it. You're not going to like it.
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Supposedly, likes have gone up 6% since the switch. Can't argue with the fact.
You can't argue with data. That's now that should be the motto of the cut forecast.
Should it?
You can't argue
should it
with
be,
data.
You can't. It should be. You can't argue with data, and data's crossed out, and then it just says Photoshop instead.
All right, mine is. All right, here's mine.
Mm-hmm.
If brevity is the soul of wit, let's just play five innings. Hashtag Shakespeare at the ballpark. Hashtag cut forecast.
That was so good. I'm going to retweet it. I'm definitely retweeting that.
That's
as long
right.
as you remember to include a link to the podcast.
I will remember to include a link to the podcast. All right, Gemma, what do you got?
It's not even going to be that good. I feel like once I settled into the comfort of not having to go first, finally, the quality has radically declined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. In the off-season, hashtag off-season, hedge maze, you can find manager Dorothy Parker and all of Australia.
Okay.
That's it. Hashtag cup forecast.
Okay. I'll heart it.
Would you really heart mine and not Claire's?
Kind of a pity heart.
Okay.
Not gonna lie, but
it's just because I retweeted yours.
Yeah, it's true. I'd be like, oh, well, I gotta do it. That's
yeah.
the nice thing.
Yeah. It's Twitticat, so...
it is Twitticat. If you have a tweet that better summarizes our podcast into 140 characters, and you probably don't have a better one than mine, but if you do have a better one than Gemma and Claire, please tweet us
Whoa!
At Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. Gemma, what are you on Twitter?
I'm at Gemma Kaneko.
Hey, Michael, what are you on Twitter?
I am at Claire Bear Attack.
Nice. I am at Dakota Gardner. Tweet at any of us. Tweet at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast with your 140 character summaries. Also, we have reached the end of the podcast.
Oh, no.
Which is a really, really sad thing. But if you want more Cut4Cast, you can go to iTunes. You can look through our whole backlog. We did episodes each week of the season. If you want to relive the 2015 MLB season, that's a great way to do it. Go back through there. While you're there, you can subscribe to this podcast, and we will show up on your listening device week in and week out. isn't that really convenient and helpful?
It's so nice. It's so great. We're always there for you.
We are always there for you. Yeah. While you're there, you can write us a review, 1 to 5 stars. And if you write a review, we will read it on the Cut Forecast. We don't have any this week, but if you write yours, we will read it next week on the Cut Forecast. That is a promise from me to you, and I am nothing if not a man of my word. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I almost got through that with a straight face.
I gave him a look about that, his promises.
Yeah, there was a look there. Gemma, thank you for being here and undermining my credibility as a man of my word.
That's what I try to do. That's what I'm here to do, is just undermine your credibility at all times. Are any of us lovely and talented or professional and organized? Who knows, Dakota? Who knows? Not the listeners. How can they trust you?
Yeah. And Michael, thank you for beaming yourself into our ears over the past half hour.
Yeah, I mean, did I actually do it, or did you just convince yourself that I did it? That's the question I ask all of you.
Ooh, spooky.
Ooh, I'm disappearing now. Ooh.
But most of all, we want to thank you for listening. It's been a great season, and we will talk to you next week.